It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel is recommending the minimum wage in his city be increased to $13 an hour. While some believe increasing the minimum wage will help people out of poverty, critics feel it should be eliminated altogether. We've invited Brian O'Rourke, a professor of economics at Robert Morris University, to give us a primer on the minimum wage. Brian O'Rourke, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with something simple. What is the minimum wage and who has to pay it?
Well, the minimum wage is the part of the Fair Labor Standards Act that was passed in 1938 that says there's essentially a wage floor for workers. So for most workers, and there are some exceptions, some pretty notable exceptions to who gets paid the minimum wage, but for most workers, they have to be paid at least a certain amount of money. Now, in 1938, there was a tremendous amount of consternation and political wrangling about how much the minimum wage would actually be. First of all, it took a number of years to get the legislation passed, and the attempt was to have a 40-cent per hour minimum wage. That wasn't going anywhere in Congress, so they settled on 25 cents an hour. So it was 25 cents an hour, and there was also this provision that basically capped the work week at 44 hours a week. Now, this is 1938. It's the middle of the Great Depression, and two objectives were being sought here. One was to raise wages for people so that they would have more money, could go out and spend and hopefully stimulate the economy that way. But also this provision about reducing the work week to 44 hours was really important because if businesses had to cut the hours their workers were working, it meant they would have to hire more people. And so that was another push by the Roosevelt administration to get more economic activity going. Now, of course, as you might imagine, a lot of people were up in arms about this, saying it was unfair to the people who already had jobs and were working overtime. It was unfair to businesses because that would raise their costs, and maybe perhaps they would have to lay off workers. It's the same kind of arguments that we're hearing now, you know, almost 80 years later. So, and I think you asked who has to pay the minimum wage?
Yes.
Well, basically, anybody who is in business who deals with a volume of business of over $500,000 a year. And that's a lot of businesses. And that's not profits. We're talking about just the volume of traffic that they have going through their business. Now, there's a lot of nonprofits who are subject to the minimum wage law as well. So anyone who works in a hospital, anyone who works in a school, any government jobs, basically any job that may have some source of government funding are all going to have to pay this federal minimum wage.
The minimum wage is not the same everywhere. Why not?
Well, there are states that have basically no minimum wage. Now, that doesn't mean that the people in those states aren't paid a minimum wage because everybody's subject to the federal law. So everybody has to be paid at least 7.25 per hour. But there are some parts of the country where the cost of living is much higher. So in certain states, we've seen that states are raising their own minimum wages. New York, for example, has an $8 minimum wage. So that supersedes the federal wage. States like California, they have a $9 minimum wage. The state of Washington has $9.32 minimum wage. But then even individual cities have decided they're going to bump up that wage even more. So Washington, D.C. has a minimum wage of $9.50. And they're talking about raising it. I think their goal is to 15. Santa Fe, New Mexico has a minimum wage. San Francisco had the highest minimum wage for a while at $10.32 an hour. But now Seattle has just passed a minimum wage for the citizens who work at businesses in the Seattle city limits of $15 an hour. And so this really soared through the city council. There wasn't really a whole lot of objection on the part of the politicians in Seattle, but the businesses were, of course, you know, crying foul and saying, this raises the wages of the people we have to pay by well more than 50%. And for businesses, for small businesses, this is an enormous cost to them. But the question that has to be asked when we talk about raising the minimum wage is, what balance do you want to strike between the equity of giving people a livable wage and the efficiency of the market, where markets set wages to, they basically balance supply and demand, and that leads to the most efficient outcome in terms of markets, but maybe not the most equitable.
We're talking with Brian O'Rourke. He's a professor of economics at Robert Morris University about the minimum wage. What is the impact on the labor market of the minimum wage, and how does it affect hiring? You talked about how in 1938, when the minimum wage was established, there was a corresponding ceiling on the number of hours a person could work per week, and that was the desired effect of the Roosevelt administration, was to encourage businesses to hire more people. So now, in this day and age, what is the impact on the labor market? How does it impact hiring in the 21st century?
This is the real question that economists have been trying to answer ever since minimum wages have been put in place. The typical analysis says that when any kind of price goes up, I mean, think about when you go to the store, if milk is more expensive or if clothing's more expensive, you see that price tag and you say, I better buy a little bit less of it. I can't afford quite as much. Well, the same thinking applies to the labor market. If the price of your input goes up, whether it is copper, whether it is silicon, whether it is people, you naturally want to hire and use less of that more expensive input. So people are concerned that, well, if the price of labor goes up, businesses are going to find an alternative, whether it's through automation or whether it is through outsourcing. You go, send the jobs overseas. In order to remain competitive, businesses seek to find their lower priced alternatives to this now more expensive input. So the traditional analysis says that the amount of people that will be hired will fall. But on the other side, think about this. Let's say the minimum wage goes up to $50 an hour. I mean, so many jobs now appear really attractive to any kind of worker. I mean, you'd go wash dishes for $50 an hour. Most people would. And so the amount of people in the labor market should increase. The supply goes up because we've got this really attractive higher wage. Now, we're not talking about a minimum wage of $50 an hour, but let's say your alternative to working is to stay home and not do anything, or maybe stay home and collect unemployment. If the minimum wage is 7.25, well, staying home isn't as expensive to you. You're not giving up as much as if the minimum wage was, say, $10 or even $15 an hour. People in Seattle who are collecting unemployment or people who say, I don't really want to be in the labor force, they see that $15 an hour and they say, oh, wow, I'd like $15 an hour. How can I get that? Well, I have to go find a job. Now they enter the labor force and it increases the available pool of labor. So when the demand goes down and the supply goes up, that creates a gap between the number of workers hired and the number of workers looking for work, and we call that gap unemployment. So the presumed outcome of a higher minimum wage is that there will be more unemployment. And that's sort of the surface analysis. But the question that is raised and the question that the economic research hasn't really shown one way or another is what happens to people who are currently employed at the minimum wage? So if you have 7.25 and the minimum wage goes up to, let's just say, $10 an hour, do those people lose their jobs? Because we should see that the quantity demanded or the amount of workers, the number of workers that businesses want to hire go down. But do those people actually lose their jobs, or do they just get their hours cut? So now the business says, well, we're not going to use as much labor. We don't want to lay you off because that's bad PR. We'll just cut your hours. So we have the potential for people to lose jobs. We have the potential for people to work fewer hours. We also have, and this is the part of the whole analysis that is the most difficult to put your finger on. Maybe businesses don't lay anybody off, but they also don't hire any new people. Because hiring those new people, people who have no experience, people, say, teenagers who are looking for their first job, they're simply not worth it. And we don't like to say that somebody's not worth an entry-level job. But to flip hamburgers for $10 an hour, you might not be worth it because you don't have any skill. We have to spend a lot of time and effort training you, and we'd just be better off using the people we already have. So the people we don't see not get hired. So maybe my kids, when they go to find a job, the minimum wage is $10 an hour. They've got no background. They've got no experience, and they don't get hired. They're not counted as unemployed. They're not counting as losing their jobs. They just never become employed. They don't get that first job to really start building a work history. And so that's where the real pain of the minimum wage could potentially be. But you can't measure someone who doesn't get hired because they've never been hired in the first place. You can't measure them as losing their job because they didn't have a job to start with.
So who is helped by the minimum wage?
Well, that's the question that the media and the politicians really like to say, hey, look at this person. It's the person who has a job at the higher wage. It's an easy question to answer because now they have more money. They can go out and spend this newfound wealth or this newly acquired wealth. And that's what
wealth?
Well, yeah, maybe not wealth, but income. So they can go out and they can spend that income, and this is what businesses who advocate for the minimum wage are excited about. So, for example, the CEO of McDonald's says that they're all in favor of a higher minimum wage. And one of the reasons they say that is because, well, the people who are making the minimum wage will go out and buy more food from McDonald's. At least that's the presumption. Now, you can always look at this from a different angle and say, well, McDonald's has all this money. Why don't they just pay their workers more now? And they'll tell you, well, we can't pay our workers more now. We won't be competitive. If you raise that minimum wage, McDonald's makes so much money compared to some local chain or maybe a chain that's struggling. They can afford to pay a higher minimum wage. They're just not doing it. Maybe some of their competition can't. So those people go out of business and McDonald's has more customers that were going to other alternatives and they can afford to pay the minimum wage. They're actually kind of happy to pay a higher wage because it drives their competition out of business. But the people who benefit are certainly the people who keep the jobs and have these higher incomes coming in. Whether or not that income will go as far as they think is another question altogether. Because if McDonald's has to pay their workers more, it's very likely that they'll pass that cost, or at least some of that cost, onto their customers. So Big Macs, instead of costing whatever, $2.99 or $3.99 or $4.99 or $5.99, they'll keep the price will keep going up because they have to pay for these now more expensive workers.
I would think, though, that at some point you're going to decide that $5 for a Big Mac, if I can get a hamburger that's restaurant, high-end restaurant quality at maybe a slightly bigger price. There's all sorts of ramifications here, and it's like a can of worms that we can't completely follow. But I guess one of the big questions would be, why is this such a big deal now? Why is it so important for the president, for example? President Obama wants to raise the minimum wage to $10.10. Give those workers a raise. Let's give America a raise, he's saying. So why now? Why the big push?
Well, part of the big push has to do with Seattle. I think Seattle really got people kind of off the sidelines. The minimum wage is an issue that comes up every now and then. And as cost of livings rise, as inflation goes up, and we haven't seen a lot of inflation. So that's sort of a weird conjunction of things. We don't see a huge bump in the actual inflation numbers, yet we see people finding that it's a little bit harder to make ends meet.
Right.
But Seattle says, look, it's expensive to live here. We want people to have a higher standard of living. We're going to just do it voluntarily. We'll do it absent of any federal legislation. I think what the president is looking at is, I think he's looking back at sort of the policies that people embrace from the Great Depression. And this Fair Labor Standards Act, this minimum wage law, was one of those things. And historians look back at that and say, well, maybe perhaps this is something that helped to push us out of the Great Depression, was that people were making more and more people got back to work. I think the president is looking at the unemployment numbers and saying, boy, yeah, the unemployment rate's coming down, but the labor force participation is still really not where we want it to be. And perhaps this will encourage more people to enter the labor market. This will help to stimulate spending, and this will help to encourage businesses to produce more because now they have a customer base with more disposable income, and they're looking to spend that money. I mean, I think that's part of it. I think definitely there's the issue of it's an election year. Typically, we hear minimum wage issues brought up during an election year or around an election year because it's something to differentiate the parties. There's not a whole lot, it seems, that there's a few sort of hot button issues that differentiates the parties, and this is one of them. I think it's one that can perhaps stimulate things. But I think probably the biggest reason are reports that have been issued and studies that have been done about wage inequality across the country. We see that CEOs are making a lot more than the average person, a lot more than they have in the past. And this is one of those issues that really gets, you know, well, if the CEOs are making so much, why can't they sort of funnel that down to the workforce? And so I think that's one of the reasons that it's come up.
Brian O'Rourke is a professor of economics at Robert Morris University, talking about the minimum wage. Brian O'Rourke, thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks a lot, Paul. It's been a lot of fun.
And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.